Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
I am so thankful to be here with you all this morning. My name is Anna McParlin, and I get to continue this series that Kaylee started last week about connecting with God in different seasons. If you didn't get a chance to listen, it's on the Cloquet Vineyard podcast, and so I highly recommend going to check it out. She had just a lot of gold in the truths that she shared last week. So a little bit about me is I am married to my high school crush. He says that I can't call it my high school sweetheart because he didn't know who I was until after high school, but he was my high school crush. And then my first year of college, I was serving at Little Angie's Cantina, and he came in and sat at my table, and I hadn't seen him in like 3 years. And I was like so baffled that he was like still alive or still in the flesh that I spilt the basket of chips and salsa on his table and went to introduce myself. And I usually don't tell this part of the story, but later I found him on Facebook and sent him a message and was like, "Hi, I was your server." And we ended up going on a date, and we've been together ever since. So thinking about that last night, about how we met, have any of you ever been a server in your life? Raise your hand if you've been a server or are a server. Okay. Have any of you ever had a server nightmare? Raise your hand if you ever had a server nightmare. Okay. So a server nightmare is when you like walk into the restaurant and you can't remember like how to type into the computer. You don't know how to fill up a water glass. Everyone's yelling at you. Everything's out of control. And so last night, I woke up at 3 in the morning with a preaching nightmare. Let me tell you, these are not fun. So a preaching nightmare is I came in this morning, and Chris threw this, like, instead of this little thing, he put this big helmet on my head. And I literally was, like, wobbling like this. Like, I couldn't stand up straight. The stage was like a hill, so I kept sliding down and, like, looking up at people. And I went to go look at my notes, and they turned into, like, my children's coloring pages. So I like look down and I'm like just running up to Vineyard Kids, running back down, can't find anything. And so thankfully this morning I don't have a helmet on. I have all my pages marked, so we should be good to go. But all this to say, when Chris asked me to share this morning, he asked, I write on the side online, and he said, "What connects with your readers the most when you write?" And I knew the answer right away. It's anxiety and depression and mental health. And if I can just be real with all of you for a minute, when I knew the answer, I kind of wanted to run. I wanted to call David and say, like, "Will you please book us tickets anywhere warm? Because let's be real, my skin could use some vitamin D. And two, this stuff is like hard to sit in. It's hard to sift through. It's hard to like talk to Jesus about sometimes." But what I found is that he wanted to meet me right there. And so this week, as I pressed into this stuff, it's been really beautiful because he's come and he's met me, and I think he's going to meet us all this morning. So as I was wrestling with Jesus about all of this, about wanting to run, I ran across this quote by this woman, Rebecca Lyons. And if you've never read her book, she writes a lot about anxiety and panic attacks. And I love this quote that she says. She says, "Lead with vulnerability. It may seem intimidating, but often we mistake transparency with vulnerability. Transparency is sharing where you've been. Vulnerability is sharing where you are. Many times when I've spoken up and exposed where I am, I've discovered myself and friends giving language to something a lot of people are feeling but don't have the words for. When you're alone and you're vulnerable, you're afraid. When you're together and you're vulnerable, you become brave. I think that's what we all want, after all. We want our vulnerability to turn to bravery. We have to start by sharing first." So that's my prayer for this morning. I'm most comfortable like sitting on a couch with my girlfriends with a big cup of coffee in hand. And so I hope that's what you see this morning, that I'm just someone on the journey alongside of you, probably with tear-stained cheeks, telling you my story and asking you yours and inviting Jesus into the middle of it. So anxiety and depression is never something I like prayed for, that I would be able to like talk from experience. But I always prayed for like, Lord, let me walk through like cool things like working with justice and compassion. My husband and I are passionate about foster care. I'm like, let's talk about these things. Like these things get me like fired up and passionate. But what I found is that this is my story. Anxiety and panic attacks have been a part of my story. It's where God's brought me. It's where he's taught me about redemption. It's where I learned to cling to his mercy. And it's this valley that my feet have like trudged miles upon miles on. I had my first blown panic attack when I was in Dallas, Texas at a women's conference. My daughter was 1.5 years old, she's 7 now, and I flew down there to just be inspired by being with other writers, and about halfway through the weekend, I experienced this thing that felt like a stroke, and it was nothing I'd ever experienced before, but it was physical, and it was very real, and it left me terrified. When I flew back to Minnesota, I was in and out of the hospital day after day after day, trying to figure out what was wrong with my body. Part of my story is that I had lost my dad to brain cancer about 2 years prior, and the physical symptoms that I was experiencing were so tangible that the doctors ended up doing like an MRI of my brain to rule out brain cancer. And I didn't have brain cancer. But fear took such a hold on my story, and it began to write the narrative of who I thought I was, of my identity. And I started just to feel super broken and ashamed. I met with some doctors, and at the end of this long journey of trying to figure out what this was, they landed on this question of maybe this is anxiety, maybe this is panic attacks. So in this season, I stopped wanting to be anywhere in public, afraid I would have another panic attack. I had this little toddler in tow, and just absolutely beautiful, but I was afraid to go anywhere that I love to go. Like, I love to spend time with my girlfriends, and we have coffee dates and take our kids places, and I would say no to those things. Going out to barbecues with my family, which is like a love language of mine, I didn't want to go. I would make up excuses for why I couldn't be there. Just like random places like Target or Canal Park, I started avoiding. I had a panic attack driving, and so I no longer wanted to drive anywhere. And if you know me, I'm a 7 on the Enneagram, so I love adventure. I love spontaneity. I love doing anything that's just like, hey, in 3 minutes we're doing this. Like, let's go. I'm known in my family as someone who's like, it's 5:45 on a summer night. Let's go to the lake and jump in. Like, why not? Let's be down there and do bedtime next to Lake Superior. That's just a part of who I am. And I love hosting people and gathering people. And it's the way my heart beats. But in this season, it really robbed me of that. I remember we had our first home when we got married was this darling bungalow. And we had this black leather couch. And I remember this day vividly. I laid on the couch on my husband David's lap, and I was just weeping and saying, I am so sorry that I'm so broken. I'm so sorry that this isn't what you signed up for. And by God's grace, he was just so compassionate towards me and pointed me towards healing and hope and tools that would help me thrive. And looking back, it breaks my heart because I know now that those things I was saying out loud were just lies I was believing. I wasn't broken. I wasn't too much. I wasn't not enough. God didn't make a mistake when he created me. And you know what? Your mental health, your anxiety, these seasons of anxiousness that you may walk through, they do not define your identity. So maybe your story this morning, it doesn't look like panic attacks. Like that's kind of an extreme thing that people walk through. But maybe it looks more like you can't sleep at night. You're up all night because your child's leaving for college and you're just like, your thoughts are rolling and rolling and rolling. Or maybe your finances, like just like your throat clenches up when you think about it. Your heart beats faster. You can't stop thinking about it because you just have so much fear connected to your finances. Maybe you scroll through social media and you just have this like numbing feeling, sensation over you of, oh my goodness, I'm not enough. I'm never going to be enough. All these people are enough and I'm not enough. Or maybe you go to work day after day and you hustle and you hustle and you hustle and you are just dying to get this promotion, and you are so afraid that you're going to have to tell your wife that it was given to someone else. I've met so many folks who share their stories of anxiety with me, and every single one looks a bit different. But there's this common thread. We are tired of feeling alone, and we feel helpless to have the tools to walk through this well. So in this season, outside of the safety umbrella of my home, I couldn't find anyone talking about this. When I brought it up or would ask for prayer places, I got a lot of like, well, Anna, you should really have more faith. Or if you were more grateful, if you wrote out a gratitude list, like your anxiety would leave, like it would be gone. So I did it all, right? I prayed for more faith. I wrote down gratitude list after gratitude list after gratitude list. And I had a lot to be grateful for. I had this beautiful little girl, this high school crush that I adored. We were building this family, and I just felt so grateful, but I was still experiencing all this anxiety. I would spend hours Googling my symptoms and trying to find anyone who had gone through something similar. But most people stayed tight-lipped about the whole situation, and there seemed to be this cloud of shame that hung over this topic of mental health, of anxiety, of depression, of panic attacks. And I found this especially true in the church. And it kept people silent, and so people weren't talking about it. And people were feeling, myself included, super alone. And I, 5 years later, I'm super grateful to say that I feel like the winds are beginning to shift. Like we're being able to talk about this, especially in the church. And I want to celebrate that because I believe that it's going to help more people walk in freedom and be more confident in who God made them to be. So this is the but then part of my story. And I love the but thens in stories. It's the place where God in his sweet grace and redemption allowed me to be in this situation that kind of changed the trajectory of my journey. So I was at Lester Park, and it's this little park in Lakeside in Duluth, and I was sitting there with my 1.5-year-old, and this woman was playing with her daughter in front of me, and her daughter was a couple years older, and she began to share her story about panic attacks with me, a complete stranger at the park, and our experiences were almost identical. She had experienced something so similar to me, yet she had experienced the hope of walking through the season and being on the other side. And I remember her repeating over and over again, as if like her words became the very words of Jesus, as she said, "You are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone." And that day, everything changed. I left feeling hopeful. Yes, I was still in it. I still had panic attacks after that play date. But I no longer saw just darkness. I saw that God had rescued someone from the same pit that I stood in, and I clung to the promise that he would rescue me too. So, you know what I adore about the Bible? I adore that God uses ordinary, messy people to display his glory and make him known to the world. This book that I land in a lot is called Psalms, and David, King David, he wrote 73 chapters in Psalms, and he was this guy that was super messy. His story was super messy. He was a shepherd boy. He was anointed king when he was about 10 to 12 years old, and he was like literally just hanging out in the fields. The prophet comes to his home to anoint the future king, and his dad lines up all his other brothers except for him. And the prophet's like, "Is this everybody? Because this doesn't seem right." He's like, "Oh, I have this, you know, this little son, and he's out in the field, you know, guarding the sheep." And the prophet goes out there and he says, "This is the king. This is the future king of Israel." And so we don't have time this morning to go into everything about David, but we're going to just look at his life and see the way he wrestled with God. He wrestled with anxiety. He wrestled with this heavy and burdened heart, and see the ways that he connected with Jesus. And what brings me so much hope with David's journey is that he wrestled, yet his feet were always pointed towards the king. His feet were pointed at Jesus, saying, "I'm gonna take one step closer to you, one step closer to you." So we're going to pray this morning, and then we're going to dive into Psalms 143 and invite Jesus to come and do his thing. So if you could join me in prayer. So Holy Spirit, we are asking for your presence this morning. And my words and my stories are just words and stories unless you come and you show up and you pour your spirit on them. Allow them this morning to be arrows that point to the hope that is found in you. We all show up this morning with hundreds of different stories from this past week, of hundreds of different dreams ahead of us and fears that are weighing on us and prayers that we are begging you to answer. Would you come and would you be in the middle of all of it? I love how wildly unique all of our circumstances are, and yet you care about each one of us. You care specifically about each of our hearts. So I just thank you. I thank you for loving us like that. Thank you that we are not the exception for who you see. Thank you that your love hunts us down and it knows no bounds. And despite us wanting to run, you lift our faces towards yours and you cradle our hearts. We love you, Jesus. Amen. So like I said, we don't have time to go over David's whole story this morning, but it's pretty wild, and I recommend digging in. You can do that in 1 Samuel. So like I said, he goes from the shepherd boy to anointed king. He kills a giant. He spends this good chunk of time fleeing people who had once loved him and now all of a sudden wanted him dead. He was sitting on his balcony, and he started lusting over his neighbor's wife, and he wanted her so much that he actually had her husband killed so that he could have her to himself. And all this doesn't even scratch the surface of David's whole story. But even if we look at just like this tiny little bit, like it would seem that it would discredit him from being a part of God's story. But in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul speaks of God's feelings about David. It says this in Acts 12. After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." And maybe that's what makes us feel at home with David. He's like this hot mess with feet that are pointed towards the Father. He's this glorious picture that helps us tangibly see grace. And I love that we can look at David's life in the book of Psalms. He opens up so much of his personal journey. These are his personal prayers, his personal cries out to God. We can see his portrait of both success and failure and sin, and we can see that the Bible like highlights the story and that it's far from perfect, but his heart was pointed towards God. And what's even more hope-filled for me this morning and over my story is that God calls this really messy human who wrestles with something that looks a whole lot like anxiety and depression. He calls him a man after his own heart. And I think all of us who are walking in seasons of anxiety or any sort of mental health need this reminder that we are not discredited from God's story, that we can both wrestle and still be people who run after God's heart. So I'm going to read from Psalms 143. If you have a Bible, you can feel free to open. It might be up there, but either way, I will read that over us this morning. And after I do that, we're going to kind of dissect some of the ways that David connected with God in seasons of anxiety. All right, so Psalm 143. Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in the darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days long ago. I meditate on all of your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. I thirst for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. So we're going to take this passage, this one passage in Psalms 143, and there's, if you go through the Psalms, a lot of the Psalms David wrote have a lot of these same things, and you can do the same thing with them, is kind of dissect them and look for ways that David connected with Jesus. So I have five this morning that I want to dig into. And so the first one is aligning your feelings with God's truth. David says, I meditate on the works of God. So your feelings are not a threat to the good and beautiful life God has for you. But what I think that we can do, and what I think is wise to do, is take our feelings and align them with the truth of God. So even when I feel shaky or anxious, or my body just kind of like feels out of whack, my mind is spinning, I can rest on the promises of who God says he is, of his faithfulness that has always been faithful. I can align my heart with his truth and of ask for his peace that passes all understanding. So I love that he points to this, of meditating on the works of God. And another thing in this same arena is journaling. So journal about your story, about the things that you're asking from God, and then writing down kind of what that looks like in future years, in future days. And so this is kind of a silly example, but I found this journal from when I was in high school. And of course, in high school, yes, David, I loved you, but I liked other people too. So I found this journal entry, and it was talking about, you know, I there's this guy, and of course, you know, I believed with my heart that he was the man for me, and, you know, I'm telling God basically, like, just get your stuff in order, because I know, 17 years old, I know that this is the guy for me. So I find this past week, and I'm kind of laughing, because now looking at where God has brought my story, I can see his faithfulness. I can see his faithfulness as I look at my family, as I look at the way that David serves me, as I look at the way he's like, yeah, go write a sermon. I have the kids every night of the week. Like, he cheers me on, and I get to see that and see God's faithfulness over my life. Even when it didn't line up with exactly my will, I can see God's faithfulness. And so it's just a fun way to go look over, to journal and to meditate on the works of God, to see the way that he showed up, to see what he's done, to see how his will was sometimes different, and that isn't a bad thing. So number two is worship. He says, I spread out my hands to you. So in that same way, there's something super powerful about declaring the truths of God over your story. And this is something we do in our house, like, all of the time. Like, I'm pretty sure my neighbors on Saturday mornings think that, like, I am hosting, like, this worship concert in my living room, because I have it, like, blaring out my windows, and I can't wait till it's spring and I can open up and the fresh air can come in. But it is a really powerful part of our story. And I've been in seasons of anxiety where I've been so anxious that it was hard for me to even sit down and read. And so to be able to walk around my house or go on a hike and have these truths being sung over me has been a really powerful tool to connect with Jesus. There's an album that recently came out by Bethel Music, and the album's called Victory. And like I said, I'm an Enneagram 7, so I'm like all in on something. And so I'm that way with albums. Like, when I find an album that speaks to my heart, I listen to that album like 1,000 times over. And so I think after a few days after I got this album and it was on every single morning, David's like, oh, this is one of those albums. And I'm like, yes, I hope you like it. And we sang it on the way to church today. My kid's like blaring it out, and it's my favorite thing in the world to hear. But there's a song on the album called Raise a Hallelujah. And I have been just having it sung over me and singing it over my heart the last couple weeks as I've been dealing with a little bit of anxiousness in this season. And these are the words of the song. It says, I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah, my weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah, heaven comes to fight for me. And I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're going to hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. And I love that. I love that when I feel anxious, I can, even if I don't have the motivation to sing, I can like sit and invite Jesus to come and have those words spoken over me. And slowly my heart can go from being over here to aligning with God's truth as I listen to these songs. So next is wake up early and watch the sunrise. So David says, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. So we just live a couple minutes from Lake Superior, and it is like a common practice in our house that I will like set my alarm and like just peek out the window and see if there are those beautiful like pink colors that are starting to fill the sky. And if there is, then I usually like grab all my babies and we head down to Brighton Beach. And we'll just sit and watch the sunrise. And it's like this simple, holy experience where I get to experience Jesus in nature. And you can do this so many different ways. It doesn't have to be just watching the sunrise. It can be watching the sunset or going on a hike. Standing in awe, standing in wonder of who God is and his creation. And it's just a way for me to be reminded that God is so faithful. Like day after day after day, the sun rises and he paints the sky. And it makes me feel small in this beautiful way and be reminded of God's faithfulness. Next is work actively towards wholeness. So David says, show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. So I think that we get the opportunity to partner with God as we walk towards wholeness and healing. And this has looked a lot of different ways in my story. It has looked like going to meet with a doctor and talk about medication. It's looked like finding a chiropractor and getting adjusted so my body's in alignment. It's looked like moving my body and looking at my nutrition and seeing if there's things that trigger me. Meeting with a counselor and a therapist. It looks like making sure I get rest and creating margins in my life from social media and getting fresh air. So I love that we get to pray and ask God for his healing, right? Like every single day of my life, I will pray and am praying for God to heal me of all anxiety and panic attacks. But so far, that hasn't been my story. And so every single day, I get to wake up and say, all right, Jesus, I'm going to partner with you towards my wholeness, towards my healing. And I'm going to use people that you have equipped, that you have given wisdom to walk in more freedom. And these tools have been so incredible for me. And I love that we get to have both faith and look at our nutrition. I love that it's not like one or the other. Like we get to like believe that Jesus could break through at any moment and still go on a run because our body feels better after it. And I cannot wait for the day when we are in heaven and there is no anxiety or depression or panic attacks. Like I cannot wait for that day. But for now, I love that God allows us to be a part of this with him, that he allows us to partner with him towards wholeness. And the last one, David says, Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. So as Chris talked about earlier in his announcements, like prayer can be kind of overwhelming to people. And I've met people over the last couple years who have had that same experience. Like if I bring up prayer, they're like, yeah, I don't pray out loud. And it's felt kind of strange to me because for the last like 10 years, I've had these girlfriends who meet regularly and we pray for each other. But as I think about it, that took 10 years of creating a culture, of getting together, of learning how to pray for each other, of making mistakes, of having it look messy. But that took a long time. And so my encouragement for you this morning is that prayer can... you can experience Jesus through prayer in a bunch of different ways. We're in a little bit, we're going to offer prayer here this morning, and it's a beautiful way to connect and experience with Jesus. But if that doesn't feel like a comfortable next step, I would encourage you to find the next thing, like the next way you get to step forward towards Jesus. The next way that you get to just press in a little bit deeper from where you are now, and it might feel a little bit uncomfortable, it might feel like a little bit awkward, but I think that as you do, what you experience in Jesus is gonna, it's gonna make the awkwardness worth it. And so whether that looks like calling a friend on your way to work and asking them to pray with you over the phone, or like ugly crying in your shower and like inviting Jesus to come. Like, I did that this week. I was just having like one of those moments and David's like, you should go take a bath. And I was like bawling in my bath, like crying to Jesus. And like, and I experienced him. Like I experienced him right there. It doesn't have to look like this perfect equation. It looks like life and us talking to him. But I encourage you to just take one more step, one step closer to the Father through prayer. So it's been 5 years since I met that woman on the playground on that summer day. 5 years since I felt the shackles of being alone drop to the ground. And I would love to stand here in front of you guys this morning and say, like, look at me, I've never had another panic attack. But that's not the story that God has written so far. And yet, I stand and I see so much hope. I still see redemption like so glaringly obvious in my story. And as I put this list into practice, I've experienced Jesus. And I even sat with my mentor a couple weeks ago at Yellow Bite Coffee. And I uttered words I never, ever thought I would ever say. And I said, I am so thankful for the season of anxiety that I walked through, because it brought me to know a side of the Father that I would have never known before. I've learned through walking through anxiety that I get to walk in the authority of being a daughter of the King, and that my weaknesses don't discredit me from being a woman after God's heart, but instead, you guys, they accentuate the power and the grace of Jesus. So I said in the beginning this morning that it was hard for me to dig into this. When I decided that this is what I was going to be talking about, it felt hard. And the reality is that this isn't just like a part of my past, but this winter has felt really weary on my heart. My husband and I started fostering, and we had two boys for a short time, and their story was full of so much trauma. And I felt desperate to like fix it. My mind just began to like race about how they could possibly have ever experienced something like this. And we knew that we weren't like a long-term solution for them, but just feeling so desperate to do something. And I began to just feel this heaviness on my chest. And about a week or two ago, David came home from work, and I was like curled in the fetal position on our couch, like just feeling crippled by this anxiousness, this racing mind. And it can feel really easy to say like, hey, look at the things of my past. Like, look at all the stuff that God tied up with this pretty bow. And look at all the ways that he redeemed it. And look at all this stuff back then. And it can feel a lot harder to say, hey, like right where I am right now, I am still messy and hurting and weak. But his power is perfected in my weakness, and I cling to that. And as I've sat this week in coffee shops and put my fingers to the keyboard to type all this out and press into Jesus, what I found is that his love for me, when I get real with him about where I'm at, draws closer. He doesn't like say, clean yourself up first, or I'm going to push you away. He actually draws nearer to me. And I experienced so much freedom this week, just sitting in this and inviting him in. And I love just that picture of him running towards me and not away. It's always my fear that he'll run away. And yet every time I come to his feet, just weak and feeling messy, he shows up. So will you guys stand with me this morning? We are going to take some time this morning to pray and invite Jesus into this. And I have a few specific things that I was praying about this week that I feel like God wanted to highlight. And one of that is that some of you this morning, you came in feeling really hopeless. And maybe you can't find a single thing to blame. Or maybe you know what that looks like. Maybe you're feeling defeated as you struggle in your marriage, or finances are overwhelming, or friendships feel messy. So I want to invite you to get prayer this morning. We're going to have our prayer ministry team meeting over there. At any point, you can come and grab prayer. But I believe that Jesus wants to meet you in the middle of the messiness, and that he is going to come and that you'll experience heaven. And I invite you to let him speak his truth over you before you clean yourself up. And I believe that what you will experience will be his relentless pursuit of you, his drawing nearer and not pushing you out or away. And number two, I feel like there are people in this room who have walked through seasons of anxiety or walked through mental health, and you have had like this big sticker of shame slapped on your back. And whether it was something that someone said, you just feel this overwhelming weight of shame that you have been carrying. And so on top of this backpack that is full of anxiety, you like feel this extra weight of shame attached. And I feel like God this morning, he wants to come and he wants to remove that weight from you, that he wants to help you walk in more freedom, that he wants to write new truths over your heart about what he says about you and your identity. Your identity isn't in your mental health. It's a part of your story, but it's not who you are. And this morning, he wants to speak that you are a son and a daughter of the King, and that you get to walk in that authority and freedom. And lastly, I got this picture this week, and it was for myself, but I woke up this morning, and I felt like God was saying, like, it could be for other people here, too. But it was this picture of Lake Superior on, like, our favorite day of the summer that we're all just dying to get to, right? And it's like perfectly still and the sun is setting, and I'm down there, and it's like my favorite thing to jump in the lake on those nights and to break the water, and it just feels so free. But I see this vastness of this lake and this beauty, and then there's like this kiddie pool sitting on the beach, and it's full of like this muck and just nastiness. And I see this picture of me going to sit over and over and over again in this muck instead of jumping in into this like vastness of God's love, of his freedom. And I just felt this invitation from Jesus to jump into this vastness, whether it's something someone's spoken over you or just this thing that you've carried or this place, this maybe addiction that you keep going back to over and over and over again. I feel like God's inviting us into this vastness. And a sweet part of this picture is, as I said yes to Jesus, and I was swimming in this prayer, right, in Lake Superior, I felt like I looked back and I saw Jesus with like the kiddie pool here, and he was just like hosing it out. And I love that picture of his love for us, as he invites us into something new, into more freedom. And he says, I'm going to come alongside you. Like, I'm going to help you not walk back to the things that you are sitting in, to the places and the addictions that you are going to. So I am so thankful for all of you here. I'm thankful for you letting me come in my weakness and my messiness and say and point to the goodness and the sovereignty and the faithfulness of God. And I hope that if you're walking through a season of anxiety, you can apply just one of these tools and experience more of Jesus in your everyday. So the prayer team will be down here. We're going to worship for a little bit longer. But thank you for coming to Cloquet Vineyard, and I hope you have a great day.